Thank you, Pastor Paul, for talking about your coach in basketball. So, Joaquin, what is a mentor to you?
To me, it shows. I love that Pastor Paul brings up his coach's willingness to, like, learn his people and to motivate them.
That's good.
Like, a leader doesn't like pull people; he leads people. And
sometimes it takes some pulling.
It does take some pulling.
It does.
But I had two water polo coaches in high school. One of them, I didn't enjoy to the point where I quit water polo. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think I sat out like a whole season. Jeez. And no excuses. Like, that was on me. Like, I could have manned up and just done it. But the second water polo coach, he was a completely different person.
Who was that?
That was Coach Wright. Mr. Wright. W-R-I-G-H-T. I know we used to make fun of him all the time.
I know him.
Pastor Paul Brandt knows him.
Really cool guy.
Hopefully this finds you. And it's crazy.
You should send it to him.
I'll send it to him. Dude, that's insane. The impact that somebody could have on you. Like you think like you're a sports coach or you're a language arts teacher. Like, what you do may not like be the most of importance, but here I am 2 years away from being a decade out of high school and I'm still like still remembering like the positive impact he had on me. Ooh, same with the reverse. You can have a negative impact on somebody and like not even realize it.
Very true.
But he still made us work hard during practices. He still he didn't let us slack off. He still made sure everybody showed up to practices. Yeah. He would actually like let us. There was one time where somebody didn't come to a tournament, and I could do a really good impression. Or I used to be able to do a really good impression of him. So one time,
swimming impression?
No, like a vocal impression of my coach.
Got it.
So I was like, Coach, can I call this guy Martin? I pretend I'm you, and ask him why he didn't show up. And he was like, I don't know if you can pull that off. And I was like, I think I could, Mr. Wright, because he used to be real soft spoken like that. So he was like, go for it. And so I call him, and he's like, wait, my mom wants to talk to you. And so the kid puts his mom on the phone. And so I have to like stay in character and be like, we just want to make sure that he's okay. And he's a real big addition to the team, and just real motivates us to have him here. Anyways, that was a fun story.
That's hilarious.
And he was sitting there like just kind of kind of chuckling along like, this is pretty good. He'd be so personal with everybody. He knew how, like, he figured out how everybody ticked, their sense of humor, how to motivate each individual. And then he would like pull you aside and he would have like actual like discussions with you. And he'd be like, hey, like, what's up? And I could tell he was different with people. Cause like with me, he would use like my sense of humor. Like one time we were practicing and somebody had gotten lazy and they're swimming slow. And he was like, hey, like, if you see the person next to you swimming slow, don't drink the Kool-Aid. Like just keep pushing and run your own, swim as fast as you can. Don't worry about the person next to you. And everyone else is like, what about Kool-Aid? Like, they didn't get it. And so I was laughing. And so he like kind of points at me. He's like, oh, okay, you got it. He's like, just like, don't be influenced by others. But like, he would see little things like that. Oh. I would notice him noticing people act differently to like what he's saying. Wow. So he knew that was like my sense of humor. And he would come in, he would be like so relational. And I think it's so important for mentors to be relational.
Yeah.
And not have like a 5-step program that they give to every individual.
Wow. That's amazing. That's like our personal relationship with Lord's not the same as like other people. And like it's like God makes a point to my relationship with the Lord is different from your relationship with the Lord. And like God's
it's
just
different than mine.
Yeah. It's different from yours.
Yeah.
And it's just like that personalness like really hits home. That's so cool.
Daniel, let's hear about your mentors.
Okay.
Talk about, well, because you were in wrestling, right?
Oh, yeah.
Unless nothing happened there.
Not really.
No? Okay. Well, then tell us about, you know, what personally is mentorship, has been mentorship to you?
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming you've been mentored. Yeah. I hope you've been mentored. If not, then, man,
let's
we've been doing, we got to look at Sozo Youth again.
Well, I think a lot of the mentorship, a lot of my mentorship came from, like, this church right here, and whether it was through, like I said, the Kami Righteousness, and like feeling that trust between like my pastors or my leaders, and like being able to like open up and be honest is like the biggest thing for me that allowed me to grow, and having them encourage me to pursue things, and like being able to like have things on my heart and like tell them, and like hearing their critiques on it or hearing what they think is just like so helpful to like to see those blind spots that you need to see, like, because like you, like you're looking at from your perspective, like, but if you have like other perspectives, like looking in and like having that humble heart to hear that out, mm-hmm. like it just could save you like a whole lot of like mess and like heartache and stuff like that.
Yeah. What I was, the one thing I'm hearing, or one of the things I'm hearing, cause I'm hearing a lot of things, but you know, it's in this mentorship mentee relationship, like you need a safe space to fail.
I like that.
And obviously, like, the mentor believes in the best and pushes you, but they won't judge or critique you. Mm-hmm. I mean, they might critique you.
Excuse me. But out of love.
But they won't like get upset at you if they have you try something and you fail at it. You know, like it's. Like mentors, like they believe the best in you and they see the best in you, and they, you know, they're called to pull that out and to cultivate the best you, the you right. that you don't see. Like one of my mentors before Christ, not like before Christ is my mentor, but before I found the church and before I found Jesus is what I'm talking about, is my first year in high school, I was doing really well. I was in, you know, I got straight A's in all my classes. And in my English class, I had a teacher named Ms. Chavez. And she would notice, and I am not bragging on myself at all. Like, this is not the point. I'm just saying, like, because she saw something in me that I didn't see. So I'm doing really well, and she would, you know, this is English class, and so I don't even know if I like English. I like everything. Anyway, so I'm like, you know, we're writing these essays, doing these quizzes, and at the end of the year, she comes up to me, she's like, hey, why don't you do team next year? I was like, what's a team? Like, what are you talking about? She's like, it's a combined class. You're gonna take AP European History with honors English, and I was like, no, I'm good. She's like, what? She's like, no, like I'm good. Like, I don't need that. I just didn't want it. Maybe because I heard like the stories of like how much homework they get or how hard, I don't know what I had heard about it, but she said she should try. I was like, no, I'm good. So you should do it. I was like, no, thank you. A week later, literally in the middle of a test. She notices that I'm done, and so I'm just sitting there. She comes up to me, and I'm getting my stories mixed up. One day I come in, and she comes up to me. She's like, "Hey, this Wednesday at lunch, you have to be at B104," which is that's so funny. We used to have a Dance for Christ there too. So, and so she's like, "Hey, you're gonna go to B104." I'm like, "Why?" She's like, "Cause you're gonna take like the you have to." There's a quiz and like an essay you have to write so you can get into this program for honors English and AP European History. I was like, I didn't sign up for it. She's like, I know, I signed you up for it. She's like, I made an appointment for you. Like, during lunch, go find Miss Owis.
Owis, yeah.
And you're gonna do this. And I was like, why? She's like, because I told you to. Like, go do it. I was like, begrudgingly, I did it. I was like, fine, like whatever. Like, I'm thinking like, I'm not gonna get in. I'm not even gonna try. Like, I was like, whatever. Actually, but I did try my hardest because like, I'm not gonna. I don't like, you know, not doing my best.
You hate losing.
I hate having regret of like, man, I could have done better. So like, I showed up. I was like, whatever. I'm just gonna try, right? And then I forgot about it, like, cause I didn't really care like to get in. I kind of didn't want it, I think. And so, like, a couple of weeks later, in the middle of a test, the whole room's just quiet, and I'm just sitting there, and I had already finished my test or essay, whatever. And she comes up to me. And she smacks me in the shoulder.
Jeez.
And I'm like, I'm looking at her, like, what the heck? And she's like, congrats. She's like, yeah. Back then, you can. This is 2008.
Wow, it's pretty early.
And 2008.
No, you're a sophomore.
It's 2008. No, I was a freshman.
No, you were. You're older than I am. 2008 was when I...
It was the end of 2000. It was 2008. 2008 is when you became a freshman.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
But there's a first half of 2008 when I was a freshman.
Facts. Go ahead.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. So this is like March, April of 2008. You're still in middle school.
I am.
And you're you're also in middle school.
You're a wee little lad.
I was homeschooling.
You're homeschooling.
You're still at home.
You're in the middle of being homeschooled.
Anyway. Yeah, so she smacks me on my shoulder. She's like, congratulations. I'm like, for what? I'm like, she's like, you got in. I was like, in what? And she's like, you got into team. I was like, oh. And I was like, ah. Anyway, so my sophomore year comes and I start team. And it is hard. Like, it's like the workload is like 3 essays a week for English. And then there's a whole, no, wait, no, sorry. 3 essays a week for the history part. That's not including the English part. But it was tough. It was like, I barely passed with like C's in both classes.
Wow.
Which counted as B's because of the AP credit. But yeah, but like I barely passed both of those classes and it was a lot of work. But at the end of the year, I looked at everything. And I was like, man, I would have chosen 2 C's in these 2 classes than A's in like, you know, not the AP and not honors.
Actually, wow. I dropped out of team. The same thing happened with me. I didn't choose to go in. Somebody put me in there and then I didn't stick with it. I remember, did they organize your class by grade? Like, 3 weeks in, did they start moving your seats around and whoever had the best grade like sat closest to the front?
No.
They did that with me, and so I was like second to last row. But I was still able to like answer all the questions, so I just didn't put in any of the work. And yeah, I dropped out. But like hearing you say that, I totally wish I would have put my best foot forward. And Tembo who's maybe thinking about going and approaching one of the SOZO leaders or one of the leaders in your church, like, go do it.
Amen.
If there's someone that like the head pastor trusts and you trust, like, go do it. You're gonna be so empowered, and you're gonna be challenged. You're gonna be both challenged by them and yourself, because then you're gonna find out that like there's been things that you've been doing that you didn't realize, like, oh, I should probably stop doing those, because that was like what started happening to me when I approached the leadership to be, I never like said the words like mentored, but like I was like, hey, like what can I do better and stuff like that? What can I do to help? And I found there was a lot of things that I was doing that I shouldn't have been doing. And there was a lot of time. It wasn't even like anything like, oh, like I was like gangbanging and stuff like that. It was like, oh, you're spending too much time on the computer. You're just like spending too much time on video games. And it wasn't like necessarily bad things. Like, wow. How, like, what a trap of complacency it could be. Yeah. To be like, oh, like, I'm not dealing drugs. I'm not in a gang. Therefore, like, I'm not that bad.
Wow. Therefore, I'm okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're, let me finish my story. And
yeah,
then,
sorry.
No, you're good. And then we'll start with Daniel. I like Daniel. Well, I like all of you. But you just have a bright yellow shirt on, so. You're glowing.
I'm glowing.
But our second question for today is, what qualifies as a mentor and why do we need them? She just saw a lot of things in me that I hadn't seen before, and that's a great characteristic of what, you know, of being a mentor is, you know, you, when you're a mentor, you see things in people that they don't quite understand or see yet. So you help them to develop those things, you know?
So when I was thinking about how to answer this question, I was like, okay, let's think of a good example of a mentor. And like, I was just like, I just thought Jesus, and like,
and he's always the answer.
He's always the answer.
Sets the bar high.
Yeah, and like you think about it, like someone's close to God, grounded on His word, sees someone like you don't see yourself, like who sees you, your potential, who won't like who you could be safe with, and like who will not like even if you mess up, like He still has that compassion on you, and like He sees you for like how the way God sees you and like how you meant to be. And like, and it says like, it says, for we are masterpieces of, for God created us as has His masterpieces. He created us anew in Jesus Christ to do the good work, so we could do the good works that He had planned for us long ago.
Amen.
And like, so we have like that potential, and like having someone that sees that, like even when we don't see that, is like extremely important. And like having that compassionate heart and being able to be vulnerable with that person.
Amen.
Yeah.
Those are great traits.
Yes.
Really good to be able to see something that you don't see in yourself. I mean, I feel like that's what God, he set us up for that in a good way. Like he made us to be communal people. And we're supposed to be in relationship and community. And I think I heard somebody say this, a preacher that I really respected. He says, I believe that God won't tell you everything that you need to know, because sometimes he might tell somebody else that you need to be in relationship with them so that you can get that information or get that wisdom or get that knowledge. And so that is an interesting concept, because I feel like he wants us in relationship. And my answer to that question is people who are available. I think availability, and I know we have different schedules and our world is busy, but to be able to prioritize people, to be able to be available to people, it shows a lot. It takes a heart of compassion. I think somebody who can, they may not have gone through the same thing that you're going through, but you know, I used to think that as a youth pastor, I thought I had to watch every show or know everything that they're going through. And the Holy Spirit says, no, you just need to know me and you need to be available for them, you know, and you need to love them, because that's what affects people. And so I think being able to have attention and obviously walking with God, because like we talked about earlier, we follow me as I follow Christ. Right. So if I'm not following Christ, then they're not going to be affected to follow Christ as well as if I'm, you know, on point. But those are things I think sometimes and notice the things I didn't put on that list, like perfection or super spirituality or, you know what I mean? Just, right. It's really being available and caring about people at the end of the day.
Amen. Everything needs to be done out of love, including like mentorship.
Yeah.
The best thing I can think of is, Matt, how long ago is this? We're still in the South Sanctuary and we're still doing like Game Room Sozo. Oh. And now Pastor Shayla, previously just teacher Shayla, she was giving a lesson and she was talking about mentorship. And she's like a mentor. She's like a real mentor is like they have like a compass on them, where north is them and God, south is them and somebody that they're pulling towards God, and then east and west is like their brothers or sisters that are helping them get pushed up. And it's so it's a constant connection between you and God, the person you're mentoring, and the people who are like equally yoked as you, where you have accountability with them.
That's good.
So like mentors don't just mentor, they are mentored as well.
Right.
The best teacher is somebody who's always learning something, because the second you think you're done learning, you're done.
Mm-hmm.
We see in Matthew 16:18, Jesus tells Peter, like, you're the rock I want to build my church on. And I don't see that change after Peter denies Jesus three times. Then that breakfast that he has after Jesus is resurrected, and he gives him this redemption story. And he says, like, do you love me? He asks him three times. And Peter says yes every time. And he's like, then feed my sheep. Take care of my lambs. Like, you don't see him, like, change. You don't see him change at all just because Peter messed up.
Yeah.
And I think we need to realize that's the way God sees us. If we mess up, that doesn't ruin our destiny.
Yeah.
That doesn't ruin our calling. We can't out-mess up God's calling on our life. We can definitely, like, run away from it. And and then he's a gentleman. He can't pull us and force us into into the plan that he has for us. But like people think like 20 years, 30 years of being away from church has ruined your destiny. It's like God still has his hand outreached. The Bible says his hand is not short, or his arm isn't short. It's always outstretched and it's always ready to welcome you in. And we need to be the same way with people.
What is that? What is that Princess Bride quote? Death cannot.
Hello, my name is Inigo. No, that one.
Death cannot cancel true love. You can only delay it for a little bit.
Oh yeah,
that's like a good one.
That's good.
It's not. He didn't say cancel, but
that doesn't make sense with us. But it makes sense with Jesus.
There you go.
Yeah.
So what qualifies as a mentor?
No, I love Joaquin's point. You know, it's definitely someone who's able, who's not a teacher who's not just a teacher, but a teacher who's teachable. You know, if your mentor doesn't have mentors, then that might be, you know, an issue, because we're all constantly learning. We're all constantly, you know, working through our salvation. We're all constantly, you know, working through, you know, this thing we called life.
Did I interrupt you again?
I don't know.
We're walking over to get that water. I don't know if it's ADD, but sometimes I like to get up and move around and stretch, and being a blessing to somebody was...
Did you really get up there to get it, to give it to him?
Yes.
Oh.
I saw water, and I said, he doesn't get a water. What if he gets parched in the middle of a sentence? And
it's very kind of you.
I've done that before speaking.
It's happened.
I remember I was speaking once and on a Sunday morning, I think, and all of a sudden my mouth went just totally dry. A cotton mouth. It was really crazy. And I that hadn't happened to me for many years, since maybe I was first started preaching. And I called AJ. God bless AJ Araujo. What an awesome man of God.
Amen.
And I said, AJ, come up here. And then he came up and I said, can you get me some water? Saved the day that day.
Yeah, like whatever, 2 weeks ago.
I just want to be like AJ, man.
2 weeks ago when I spoke on Wednesday, my mouth, I was just, I think I hadn't had water all day. So I think I was just kind of dehydrated.
Probably.
So when we did communion, it's like, you know, when I took the bread, it just turned into like dust in my mouth. But it was just in my mouth. Like I couldn't swallow it because it had like, it was just so dry. So it took me a while for me. Like I had to like make some saliva. Like it was
so really dissolve. A dog with peanut butter in their mouth?
Yeah. Yeah. No, what qualifies as a mentor is definitely someone that, you know, obviously you can trust. You can have basic trust with. But really, like, it needs to be someone who's godly. You just can't find anybody, you know, and say, hey, mentor me, you know. and this goes with people in the church. Like, it's,
yeah,
you know, you need to see a good track record of humility, of repentance, of knowing the word, of, you know, seeing them talk to pastors. Because if you can't just go up to someone like, man, like, this person never talks to pastors during Tamara. That's probably not the best sign of them being a good mentor, right?
Right.
Someone who's submitted, who's humble, will make a great mentor. Because they know what it's like to be you. Like, there is, you know, to be a mentor is not someone who lords over you or who is your decision maker, or, you know, that's Jesus. Jesus is your Lord. Let him make your decisions and allow your mentors to figure out what those decisions are. Because sometimes it's like, man, I don't know what the right thing to do is. You know, I've called Pastor Paul in my life. I've had conversations with Pastor Paul where I'm like, man, should I call the police right now or should I not call the police right now? And then, you know, sometimes following his advice, sometimes not following his advice. And that's on me. You know, you're trying to figure out what I'm talking about, huh? I can see. Do you know what I'm talking about? We're not going to talk about it, yes, but, you know, just stuff like that where, you know, in that moment, I'm not calling my cousin. I'm not calling, you know, another youth at the church. I'm calling Pastor Paul. Because I'm recognizing, man, I'm barely an adult right now. I need an adult. So, and it wasn't anything like life-threatening. It was just, you know, teenage drama.
You could just say you were looking for a real-time direction in a church situation. But anyway, that's a good point. When you first made that statement that, you know, look for people who are submitted, yes, to the church, showing a track record. A part of me wanted to go a different direction and think, yeah, but that might exclude some people. And so I would, but then as I thought about it and you continued to share, I thought, yes, comma, there's a comma again. Like, that is true for you. We need to have people in our lives who we connect with, and they're godly, and God's given them that role. I would also say, in addition to, there are people, it's kind of like, you know, who are some of the best evangelists? People who just got saved, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And that's a real thing. And I understand that mentoring might be a little bit of a different thing, but at the same time, we're called to make disciples. We're called to get people saved and disciple them. Influence them, you could say. When you disciple somebody, it's kind of like mentoring them, right? It's like you're influencing them to follow the things of God, to develop the daily disciplines of prayer and meditation and confessing your sin to somebody safe and all the things we're talking about here, and to worship God and to be faithful in the house of God and faithful in you know, putting God first, like in the tithe or whatever it happens to be, in teaching these things explicitly sometimes when somebody doesn't understand. I remember when I first found Christ, the pastor would say, well, I know you know this story, but... And my heart was saying, wait, I don't know that story. I don't. Do you know how I learned about David and Goliath, Joel? Pastor Joel? Or anybody?
I know how.
You do.
I think, if I remember correctly, you were used as the example for Goliath, right?
Nope. No. But I was used as an example for Goliath many times.
True, but not in this situation.
But this specifically, many of the Bible stories, specifically David and Goliath, but many of them I learned because I worked at a Christian bookstore called Valley Book and Bible, and I was an 18-year-old young man who felt kind of embarrassed that I didn't know basic Bible stories, and so I would borrow the videos that at night when I would close up the shop, I would borrow VHSs, I'm talking about tapes and VHSs on this.
Be kind and rewind.
This is before VeggieTales. And I would go home and I would watch kids' stories of Bible, like made for kids Bible stories. Because I had no idea who Daniel or I didn't know, no idea who these three Hebrew boys were. I didn't know there was a, because somebody got thrown into a den with lions? Who does that? You know what I mean? Like, and that's how I learned these things. But my point is, I was longing for people to teach me basic things. So I mentioned those people that I had as mentors, but I wanted more. I wanted more. And I feel like there's people out there that want more. And sometimes I wouldn't want to put a gauntlet for, well, you know, I wouldn't want to tell somebody, let's wait 3 months and then maybe you can mentor somebody. You know, yeah, you might not set them up in a structured program as a mentor, but I would let them loose and say, hey, follow God and let that fire that you have for Jesus spread and get on somebody else.
I'll say more specifically for not. I should have been more clear. When you're looking for a mentor, that's what I was talking about. You know, like if Joaquin just got saved last week, and I've been here for 3 years.
Hallelujah.
I don't know that I should be looking towards him as a mentor. Does that make sense?
Makes sense.
So that was I wasn't talking about what qualifies as a mentor. Like when we're looking for a mentor, or when you look, man, I just need some help, or I need some guidance.
Right.
You know,
people speaking into your life.
And some practicalities. Commitment. Somebody who's either been at that church or been going to a church for a very long time.
Yeah. Because they need to have the DNA, yeah. You know. They have, like, you know, like what we teach in Sozo, you know. When if you're gonna speak, you know, well, first of all, like, you know, we don't just allow anybody to prophesy or anyone like in the service, like, right. You know, there's clear guidelines of who we want up there, not because, you know, we're afraid of, you know, it's not because we're afraid of what the Holy Spirit's gonna say, like, no, it's because. There needs to be a basic level of trust and a basic level of DNA.
Absolutely.
And, you know, and we tell our leaders, you know, hey, we don't say this is what God is saying. You know, we say, hey, this is what I feel the Holy Spirit saying. This is what I think is going on. We don't make absolutes because we're not God.
Yeah.
And, you know, so it's really important, especially for our church, is that, you know, if you're a mentor, you know, you better have the heart of Hope. You better have the heart of Sozo. You better have the heart of Pastor and Tamara. You know, because we don't trust for, like, you know, we don't want funky things happening in the parking lot. You know, I feel the Lord saying you got to go down the street and, you know, evangelize to all of these people or, you know, go to this church instead of this. You know, it's just, it gets weird when people are trying to lead a church when they don't have the pastor's heart. Because that's, you know, that's literally the meaning of division, you know, two visions. And so.
I love that you bring that up, that they have to have the DNA. Because if I may correct myself, like, sure, commitment. And, like, but people do come to church for decades, and then they never change.
Yeah.
So let me add mine to Joel's and say commitment on top of, like, commitment to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And not just to a Sunday hour and a half thing. Wow. What are some other characteristics? commitment to God, patience, love. I think leading by example is a huge one.
Yeah, they should have the fruits. You know, if they're known for like, never mind. I'm not going to get into examples, but you know, you should see the fruit of Christ in their life. You know,
amen.
But that's what attracts you to that, and that's really what attracts you to be mentored by them. You know, when you see someone who's on fire,
right?
When you see someone who's submitted, when you see like the fruit of their obedience, like oh my gosh, like this guy's been faithful to the Lord. Yeah, that draws you to be mentored by them because they're leading by that example.
Right.
You know, no one's, you know, forgive me if this is, you know, upsetting, but like, you know, I'm not going to go down the street to someone who's homeless and ask them to mentor me. You know, because I don't necessarily want what they have, right? Was that bad of me to say?
No, I don't think so.
I don't know
so.
If it was.
No.
Keep it real, man.
But when I see someone who's filled with the joy of the Lord, when I see someone who has a good work ethic, when I see someone who's like, man, it looks like they're living their best life. It looks like they really love Jesus. You can tell Jesus loves them, and that's what they're living.
Yeah. Kind of like those people find you because, like you say, they're attractive spiritually and
ooh, I like that.
Emotionally and stuff.
You know, you draw, and that's probably what, you know, that's probably how Timothy was able to lead a church, you know, because Paul said, told him, like, don't worry about it. Lead by example. Don't worry about your age. Don't worry about what you know or you don't know. Just lead by the example in these areas. And they followed him because he was, you know.
Yeah.
Amen.
So.
That's good. Yep. I agree. I agree with that.
Quick tidbit to anybody who.
Tidbits.
There could be a thought process that I had.
What?
Thought process. Pastor Paul, that water just saved me. Did you hear my voice start to go? There could be a thought process of I want to hang out with people that are like-minded.
Ooh.
And I remember I kind of fell into that. Where, like, I wanted to hang out with people that were like me and they were outgoing and they were fun in high school. But then there
is that like, I'm just trying to understand what you're saying.
But then
like, you're trying to hang out with people that agree with you?
Yeah, that agree with you. And I should have found somebody who would have pushed me and was better than me. I found people who were at my level or below my level of like,
wow,
not in the church, but I mean like in like academics wise or sports wise, in high school, I had a friend group outside of my sports teams that I could hang around with. And wow, I'm having like self-realization. This is scary. I could feel good about myself because I had better grades than them. I participated in more sports than them. I didn't do as many like bad things as them, and
that's
I was
like
able.
The opposite of mentorship.
Yeah, no, that's the thing. Like, you need to be careful to not fall into that trap, and to go find somebody who is better, who, like, for lack of a better word, like better than you, or who you know it can push you, because a lot of people. It depends on your personality type, but a lot of people can fall into like a comfortability, and like I would consider myself like pretty outgoing and laid back, but that laid back.
Did this go together? I'm outgoing, but I'm laid back. Sorry, go ahead.
Easygoing. I'm easygoing and laid back. Thank you. I'm easygoing and laid back, and like that has a strong suit because now I don't get stressed about things that don't need to be stressed about. But then it has a negative side to it where I could be complacent. And not worry about things that need to get done.
True.
And so go find somebody who, whose personality type is like different from you. Right. Like find a mentor who is on the stricter side. Like, I definitely need my personality type. I need a stricter person to mentor me. And then maybe somebody who's too uptight and they're a perfectionist. They need a mentor that's maybe a little laid back and they can relax them and mentor them in that suit.
Yeah. Cause with that specifically, like, you know, for people who are very task oriented and very like, we're motivated by production, by what we produce, where maybe we, like we just talked about, we get our value from our performance and our tasks, but you know, we tie our value to what we can do. It's really easy for us to not enjoy moments. It's really easy for us to not live in the moment because we're thinking about the next thing, or we're thinking about tomorrow, or we're thinking about what needs to get done instead of thinking, am I enjoying this moment right now?
That's,
you know,
good.
It's really easy for me to do things, to be present in the body doing something, but my mind is like 30 days away at the next event. Wow. Does that make sense? So I can I never fully enjoy a moment, or I never fully enjoy, and that and that's a big pitfall of always producing, is that, you know, when I have to now stop producing and worship, my mind is really, or pray, or read, or the
smell
Bible,
smell
some flowers. My mind is already, you know, 10 miles in front of me, saying, when you get to this place at this time, you gotta deal with this, or you gotta do that, or you gotta produce this, or this is, you know, I it's really hard to live in the moment when you're always planning for the future.
Yeah, and I'm kind of the opposite, where I enjoy the moment so much that, like, I don't prepare for the future.
Yeah,
wow.
There's like a really fine line that we need to walk to, and we need to find a mentor that's found that balance.
Yeah, no, that's good.
That's good points.
That's very practical.
It's very practical.
Super practical, because that's what I need. I need to, in my mind, slow down, because, like, you know, to, like, it literally feels like my mind never stops. Like, it's always, you know, like, it's always trying to make things happen. Like, the other day when we were filming last Friday, we were filming for the kids ministry, and we were just doing funny voices and had this idea, like, what if we made this YouTube channel, call it The Great Debates, and because me and Joaquin could do impersonations, and we would make this channel, we would do these 10-minute videos of, like, Mickey Mouse debating Mario. Like, in and on, like, who's the better face of a company, or, you know, like, who else did we talk about?
Kermit the Frog here.
Kermit the Frog debating Elmo, and, like, it'd just be funny to, like, see, make these videos.
I would subscribe to that channel.
I would subscribe to
it. Right, but I don't know that I necessarily have time for that. I could do it. It could be fun, but I wouldn't. But what would that take? Like, it goes back to, you know, whatever you're giving your time to, you're taking it from somewhere else, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
And mentorship requires a lot of time and a lot of investment, because you're working with people and you're investing in people. But at the end of the day, people are definitely worth it. You know, there's been times where, absolutely, you know, I'm in the middle of a movie or in the middle of something that I'm not enjoying. But then someone calls me because they need guidance, you know. At that point, they're more important than my movie.
Right.
Or they're more important than my...
There's a test there. What are you going to prioritize? Well, what are you going to value more?
Yeah, so, and that goes into our third and final question as we wrap this up. Are we mentors?
Mm.
Like, are we called to be mentors? Because I think everybody's called to be mentors. But the reason I'm saying, are we mentors, is I'm asking, like, what does that look like for the four people that are in this room? Like, what does it look like for you to be a mentor? Like, practically speaking, because, you know, we talked a lot about, you know, being mentored. And I hope that so far we've encouraged people to say, man, what I'm lacking in my life, I know this person has. I'm going to go be mentored by that person and ask me and be humble and be, you know, how can I be more patient? Or how can I be more, or how can I communicate my emotions better, which is something that I've struggled with, you know. And I need to learn, you know, me learning how to, it's a step-by-step process. Having my pastors involved and having friends involved in that has helped a lot.
Mm-hmm.
My point is, you know, I hope that so far what we've talked about has motivated people to be a mentor, but I want to now talk about the other side of that, because as we're being mentored, as we're being filled up, we got to pour out, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
And so we'll start with Pastor Paul. What does it look like for you to mentor?
What does it look like for me to mentor?
Unless you don't want to start, then.
I have something.
Go for it, Daniel.
All right, so
we'll start with Daniel.
I was when you said that, I was thinking about, like, that.
Said what? Said a lot of things.
when you talked about, like, how you need to, like, work on yourself before, like, that you, when you're looking for a mentor and you're looking for the qualifications, like, oh, like, I need help with this area, enjoying the moment and stuff like that. But I was thinking about, like, you mentor people yourself, and, like, we. Sometimes I think sometimes we could try to give out of, like, force love to come out from us when we're not receiving. So we have to, like, receive to give from.
Amen.
So we have to have, like, this constant, like, filling ourselves up with the love of God to, or give it. And it's because sometimes I think we could fall into, like, this trap where we're, like, just trying to squeeze out the love and, like, trying, and it just becomes really frustrating and, like, stressful.
It's very inauthentic to give out of what you don't have. It comes out fake, because you're faking it. It's not. There's no
substance. And you could feel it too, like, like out of the moment here. Like, I feel disconnected. I can't be intimate. Like, what's wrong right here? And, like, you have to be. You know what I mean? You have to be like, like that example where you put like the oxygen mask before you could put, like that's actually like a real thing. Like you have to put on your oxygen mask before you help the other person, because how are you going to help the other person if like you can't breathe either.
Yeah.
And so like it's that constant, like you have to be filled in order to like fill, you know, and that comes from our relationship with the Lord, you know. Amen. It has to be first. You know, it says love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then love others as yourself, you know. But that relationship with the Lord comes first to give out that love.
That's good. I had a really cool experience recently that one of my students kept asking me for invite cards. And my phone number and a way to get to church, because he didn't have a ride. And it was really cool because, number one, that was appropriate because, like, again, like we talked about earlier, it's, as a teacher, it's not really appropriate for me to like invite my students to church necessarily. But it's okay for him to ask and for me to respond, right, with the answer. And so I started picking him up for church before all this, you know, the services are now online, and I fully expect that he'll be coming again and I'll be picking him up. I look forward to doing that. And the next thing you know, he invited everybody in his family that he lives with. And he invited his little brother and another little brother. And then he invited another one of my students. So two of my students, and then his little brothers started coming. At one point, there were four other people coming in my truck, and which was really fun. It was really cool. It was encouraging to me. It was he was just being contagious, a contagious Christian, you know.
I like that.
And it really caused me to. It changed our relationship, you know. Mm. It kind of started pulling things out, because it's so easy to. You know, we have jobs to do. We have roles to play in life. And whoever's listening to this, they might be a dad, a mom. They have demands on them. I gave them a really weird look. They have demands on them, like we all do in our society.
Right.
And I think it's important to, like, it caused me to kind of become... more, I mean, obviously I was kind of a mentor in not necessarily spiritual things as his teacher, being a special education teacher. You know, we have that role. It's one of the things I love about my job is I'm able to affect them and encourage them and all that. But then all of a sudden it morphed into, wow, I can encourage him in the things of God and encourage him to just keep, you know, I was telling him to stay encouraged when his brothers weren't coming and he was inviting them and kind of trying to get them on the right path. And I think over the years, just you guys, I can't really add much to what you said, but I think it's something where that is experienced. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't, and when you experience impacting a life for the things of God, mm-hmm. there really isn't another experience. It's kind of in its own. It's pretty amazing, and it is visceral. It's not just head knowledge. It's right. Like, wow, look, that person, you know, has been impacted. To God be the glory. We already went over that.
Yeah.
No duh, that it's, you know, that it's to God be the glory. But how cool that my life got to impact
right.
That person, and so that's a really cool, you know, real time thing.
I think that's in my life. I think that's a perfect example
yeah.
of mentorship, because as you were talking about it, it's like. Mentors, and obviously we're specifically talking about the church
right.
and Jesus and, like, you know, our faith. Mentors are supposed to bring you to Christ, right? Like if I'm mentoring a youth, I'm not mentoring them to become more like me. I'm mentoring them to become more like Jesus. I'm in my mentoring, I'm that bridge between how they are right now and how God created them to be. Wow, you know, that is that's my good. Role as a mentor. And you literally brought them to church. You literally brought them, and you're continuing to bring them to Christ. So, and that's the role of mentor, is that anytime if I'm mentoring a youth, let's just say I'm mentoring Daniel. Anytime Daniel goes through something, he comes to me, it's my chance to bridge him to Christ. Anytime he has a comment or a concern or a question or a worry or a doubt or a fear, when he brings that to me as because he trusts me as his mentor, that is my opportunity. That's the point of contact, where it's not from my spirit, it's not from my intellect, it's me saying, here's what Jesus says, here's what the Bible says, here's what we
can
do, here's what we do in worship, here's what we do in prayer. And so it's not, at first I was thinking, oh yeah, Pastor Paul, he brought that youth to Christ, like literally he brought him to church, but he did it again, and you're doing it again and again and again and again. And that's mentorship, is anytime there's something, again, there's a character defect, again, you bring
that consistency that you're going, that God's showing you, right?
Yeah, that's we'll get into that, but not today, but
that's good.
But yeah, but it's that,
I want to hear about that though.
Yeah, but it's that constant, maybe you'll be in it. You're that rebound of when they bring something to you, you rebound it to Jesus every single time. And that's what a mentor does, is that you bring something and then you're like, okay, cool, here's your issue or your question, let's bring it to the cross. And then now you become more like Jesus, and now you reconcile, and then you know it's, and then you know, like, as the youth knows more about Jesus rather than more about you, right? He knows more about what God says more than what you think, and that's what a real mentor is, man.
And because I think the test of it is, where do we go when life is squeezing us, or when we're going through a trial?
Squeeze.
And we're more likely to, there's no guarantee, but we're more likely to go to the person who's been there consistently.
Yeah.
Who's been there and who didn't quit on it and didn't quit on us. And they didn't do it perfectly, but they did it consistently.
I like that.
That's good.
So that's good.
Yeah, man, they didn't do it perfectly, but they did it consistently.
I like how we all just went. Everybody, they're just like,
because he has a phone in his hand, he's got a heavy revy in the barrel. Boom, double barrel, huh?
Everybody looked at me, and I kind of repeated what you said.
And
there.
You just stepped up the challenge.
They didn't do it perfectly, but they did it consistently. I love that, because no one's perfect.
I like
and
that.
So like earlier we were talking about some traits that a leader could have. So let's say if you see somebody that that person might make a good mentor, but then you see them that they don't, that like let's say you made a list of things that you want in a mentor, and then somebody doesn't have one of those things on that list, that doesn't cancel them from being a good leader. That doesn't disqualify them being a good mentor. That just means they're human.
Yeah.
That's really good.
Yeah. So
that's good. That makes him a human.
So just know your mentor isn't perfect. Oh, which actually ties into the scripture I was going to read. In 1 Peter 5, verse 5, this says, in the same way you who are younger must accept the authority of the elders, and all of you dress yourselves in humility.
Amen.
As you relate to one another. And so if Peter's telling the younger crowd to do that, what do you think the older crowd is doing?
Yeah.
Dress themselves up in humility. So when you see humility in a leader, and not like a humility where they're like berating themselves all the time, but like a humility realizing they're imperfect. I remember like one of the things that like drew me to the church was Pastor Drew, and he would say, if you're looking for the perfect church, you haven't found it. Because that I don't know, that spoke to me. It's like, wow, like, true. Like this guy realizes who he is. Like, I was, and before that I'd seen like a lot of like I don't want to say fakeness, because I want to like put that on them, but
that's good.
I just saw some genuine love from Pastor Drew.
Amen.
And then it goes on to say, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. So humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, and at the right time he will lift you up. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. And it's crazy to see Peter talk about humility, and then he goes on to where we should be casting our cares to. So when we look at a leader, we're looking at humility, and we're looking at what they do when they're in a stressful situation, which I think you were talking about earlier with like part of the, like the two-way relationship,
right?
Like where you see like what do they do when they get stressed out, and we can draw from that. We can see like, hey, like I saw them struggle and they came out of it.
Yeah.
we've seen people who come to this church and they go through something, but then they turn around and they help somebody else through the exact same thing they just went through.
Yeah, you're right.
And that's amazing to see. Is mentors that are going through something.
Relatable.
They're relatable. They're not perfect. They have struggles of their own. Mm. They have weaknesses. Wow. But where do they take their weaknesses? Where do they boast in their weaknesses the same way the Bible says to? So a mentor will always be humble.
Yeah, amen. That's so good.
That's really good because, you know, we're so used to trying to hide our weaknesses.
Yeah.
And we're so used to trying to cover our faults, to show our best self, to project our best self.
Yeah.
But projecting our best self isn't projecting our real self. And so Paul was, you know, he gloried in his infirmities, you know, because he's like, he wanted everyone to know, I'm not perfect, but I love Jesus. Follow me as I'm following Christ.
Yeah.
You know,
as you relate to one another, you can't relate to somebody that you don't feel
connected to.
You're more compassionate. Like, I think like that's why we could relate to Jesus. That's why it says we have a high priest that could relate to us, is because he actually came down and lived and gave up all his heavenly privileges and lived as a man. And like he has that sympathy and that compassion for us every day because he knows what we're going through.
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to end with this scripture, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7. Remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, and considering the result of their conduct, imitate their faith. That's good. I'm going to say that one more time. Yeah, remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, and considering the result of their conduct, imitate their faith. That verse, right, or that part, consider the result of their conduct. Look at how they acted and look at what resulted in the way they acted. In their character and in their integrity, and imitate that faith. You know, that's crazy because it's tying, like, you know, James says, you know, without faith, you know, without works, your faith is dead. And so he's saying, you know, imitate their faith by imitating their conduct, because look at what their conduct resulted in. Consider the result of their conduct. Imitate their faith. Amen.
Wow. Yeah. Amen. Not just what they're saying. Not just how they're portraying themselves, but how they, what they do.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I remember my grandpa once told me, he's like, hey, don't do as I do as I say.
I heard that one before. And
yeah, he was being funny, but how, like, there's a lot of people that expect you to do that. Mm-hmm. Do as I say, not as I do. But like, how much more powerful is it that if I did exactly what you do, where will I end up? Imitate them, imitate their faith. And right. Their conduct. That's amazing. Thank you, Joel. That encouraged me.
Thank you, Joel.
Hebrews 13:7. Joaquin, why don't you pray for mentors and mentees? We'll close out.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for examples that you give us, both in the Bible and in our lives, in our real-time lives. And you're just a real God who understands that there's real difficulties that we're facing, and I thank you, Lord, that we go through those difficulties not alone, but with you and with those that you have put authority onto. Thank you so much for mentorship, God, and that you haven't left us here. Amen. You say the disciples say time and time again to Jesus, like, don't leave. And Jesus says, it's good that I leave because I can prepare a place for you. And then I can send a helper. Jesus is taking care of us always. He's taking care of our nows and our futures. And his blood covers our past. So I thank you that all those out there who feel like they're being called to get mentored, I thank you, Lord, that you are placing mentors in their life, Father God. And I thank you that those who are being called to mentor right now are being built up in the things of Christ. That they're just seeking your kingdom, Lord, first, and everything else will follow. Thank you, Lord, for your Bible, your word, and your life, and the blood of your son, and the name of your son, that we get to use that. Because the name above every other name, so I cast out any doubts, any self-esteem issues, saying, like, I'm not worth being mentored. No, you are. Because the same way we mentioned earlier, how a mentor can see opportunity and potential in you, God sees it. And I thank you that you are going to bring practical, real situations into people's lives that they can be mentored and they can mentor people. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Joaquin. All right. Thank you guys for coming.
Great job, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
That concludes episode 9.